It's indeed my pleasure to introduce our next guest. We're very appreciative. Is once again visiting Iowa, Secretary Sonny Perdue. He's a veterinarian by training and an avid sportsman and hunter. He was governor of Georgia for 8 years, from 2003 to 2011. Prior to be elected governor, he was a state senator. In his early time as secretary, Secretary Perdue has spent a lot of time traveling rural America, which is critically important to the very issues that we've talked about this morning and will this afternoon. Please join me in giving a great Iowa welcome to the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue.
Good morning. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Bruce. I'm not sure you realize this, but I was sworn in about the 25th of August. And this is my third time in Iowa since that time in about 4.5 months. So I was inaugurated an honorary citizen. I didn't know what dress to wear today, but I did bring a tie that I thought for the states of sows and plows it would work out here. There's a good-looking sow on that tie we'll hand to Bruce later on. So it's good to be with all of you this morning. Hope you all are having a great day. And we're glad to be here with Bruce and one of your innovators here in Iowa. We know there are many, many others, and the president thinks so as well. We know that your governor, Kim Reynolds, greeted us this morning very graciously. We know the president kind of took away your last one, but he's doing well for the state of Iowa selling soybeans in China as well. So delighted to have Governor Branstad, Ambassador Branstad over there as well. I know that your longtime senator, Senator Grassley, has also been with you this morning. I don't know where he is right now, but Senator Grassley, I hope you realize that this boy from south of the Mason-Dixon line kind of knows what corn and beans are about all now. So we're happy to have you here and happy to be here with all of you. And I just visited with my good friend, Senator Make'em Squeal Ernst there. So, Joni, glad to be here with you. I may bring you one of these hog ties, too, since you know all about that as well. But Congressman Young, I think, is going to join us. We are, what brings us to Iowa here is we're really on a upper Midwest tour called Back to the Roots. As Secretary of Agriculture, I knew before I got there, but I've learned more even so now that not all wisdom resides in Washington, D.C., particularly when it comes to ag policy. You know that Senator Grassley and Senator Ernst and Congressman Young take a lot of your input back and common sense, but we wanted to get out here as we look to advise and consult and counsel the Congress on the 18 Farm Bill about what's really on the mind of real farmers out here and what do you want, what do you see, what do you need, what's working, what's not working, and how we can listen to you and take back those things that make a difference. I think you Iowans chose very well with President Trump, because the first day I was sworn in on April the 25th, we had convened a roundtable of farmers, producers, foresters across the country, just 12 to 15 of us there. Zippy Duval, the National Farm Bureau President, was there, American Farm Bureau President, but other dairymen and produce and grain, cash grain farmers and pork producers and others were in there, where the President acknowledged the issues of the backbone of the American economy being agriculture. He acknowledged it had been for a number of years. While we talk a lot about the angst of American manufacturing, he has a good understanding of what has gone on and how American agriculture has kept us afloat for exports for a number of years. So he's recognized that by plucking your governor out and putting him in one of our most important, our number one ag customers, China, and where he's doing a great job. Shortly on July 4th weekend, I met Ambassador Branstad in China as we celebrated the the beef coming back into China after 13 years. He was there graciously. And his relationship with that market, with that leadership, and what you Iowans have done in cultivating that relationship over the years has been phenomenal in the number two economies in the world getting together, understanding how we can trade better, the things that we do well, you know, soybeans, pork here, corn, DDGs, other things, how we can penetrate that market. Because the good thing is the Chinese customer is not the issue. It's the trade imbalances and trade issues that we have and the barriers of getting in there. They love your U.S. products. They love our U.S. products. They love that USDA stamp of approval. And we went through grocery stores, and people would ask us what products we recommended because they trusted the American consumer and the advantage we've had for American products for a long time. Also, in the USDA, you know that you got a couple other folks that we're really hoping can join us in Washington to bring that good common sense, salt of the earth, dirt under the fingernails kind of ag experience to the USDA. And we're hoping that we can have them there very soon where they can help us create policy, implement common sense policy that makes a real difference in how we perform. The good news about the president and the cabinet he's associated and assembled, it's probably the best interactive team. The executive order that he signed on that first day in that meeting with the farm group was a interagency task force on rural prosperity. And the president's concerned about our rural areas, our farming areas, what happens not only productivity-wise, but socially out here. Things like broadband and the kind of things we need. He has a firm understanding about what the precision agriculture needs of today are, about how we do better, how we make better decisions, how we use less inputs, how we are better environmental stewards as we have those kind of technologies. So when you see his infrastructure bill coming out here very soon, you'll see a real emphasis on rural prosperity, rural infrastructure. And fortunately, USDA is taking a lead on the rural aspect of that infrastructure bill, where we're going to deal with asset classes just like some transportation, but broadband capabilities, the power grid and power needs that we have out here, as well as other types of water and wastewater and controls. And while we're speaking about that, I think we all know the issues that farmers have been under the anxiety for a number of years now with the Waters of the U.S. rule proposed. And the other good thing about our cabinet members, the USDA secretary and administrator of the EPA have become best buddies because they play in our business a lot, and we want to make sure they know how farmers feel about these products. So I'm glad that Scott Pruitt, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, has already had the courage to suspend that rule, look at it again, to make sure that every little mud puddle in Iowa is not claimed as the waters of the U.S. So we're working together tightly, not only with... I think that deserves applause, and Scott and I communicate on a regular basis about these kind of issues as we look to identify where those regulations should be and how they should go. The other thing is the president's very focused on is certainly another entity that that creates a lot of issues among our farmers, and that's the Corps of Engineers. I think people in Washington or the administration's about to figure out that maybe this organization might have gotten out of its lane around it from its original intent and needs to be reined back in a little bit. One of those ideas that we're having as far as interagency goes is to work with USDA in joint with the Department of Interior. That happens mostly out in the West in the Bureau of Land Management, not so much in Iowa, but some states have almost two-thirds of their land that's owned federally. So we have to cooperate with the Department of Interior, the Corps of Engineers and Environmental Protection Agency, as well as the Department of Energy. So when you get those agencies working together, we hope to actually co-locate in some joint areas where you don't get one answer from one agency and another agency says no, one says yes, and you're caught in the middle. We know in agriculture we've gotten some of those mixed signals before, and they've been very frustrating about how we move processes just from drain tiles and other types of issues there. So I'm hoping you can have a more focused administrative idea and more regulatory environment. As I visited with Congress over prior to my confirmation for those 3 months, I heard really three things that are no different than you're going to be on your three top, and that's trade. Certainly we've got to sell more, immigration and farm labor, and then regulatory environment. The president has already charged us in an executive order to go through every agency and to look at every regulation that is an impediment to productivity in America. Guess what? We're up to 250 in the USDA already, and we're going to be culling those out, just like Scott is working on the waters of the U.S. We're going to be looking at these things that are a hamper and a damper on your productivity out there. So one of the hallmarks of this administration, and many people have said that as farmer, and I know I've said for a long time, I'm not concerned what you do for me, it's what you do to me that bothers me. So I think in this deregulatory environment, you're going to see a president and an administration that's looking to unburden and to liberate Americans once again to do what they've done always, and that's to create and to innovate and to produce in a way that is pretty magical concerning the way the world looks at our productivity. I've told the president we see great products around the building here today, great manufacturing products, but there's a lot of anxiety over manufacturing jobs having been lost in America. But you don't hear that about farming, because when you look at our farming trade balance, we have a surplus. And I've told him, I said, I think if you had the amount of basic research, applied research, and the extension service to deliver that, you wouldn't be hearing or seeing the same angst about manufacturing, because you look at the productivity that the American farmer and producer, rancher, has had over the last 50 years, it's the best example of a manufacturing process I've ever seen that's superior to anywhere in the world, taking the whole ecosystem of from research and development, from all the way through production, what you all do each and every day, through the processing, the logistics, and the transportation, the exporting, nowhere in the world can compete. That's what the president wants to see unleashed in America throughout the economy. You all are an example, and I'm advocating on your behalf every day to say, look at what American agriculture has done. How can we do that in the rest of the economy with risk takers and freeing people? Certainly it depends on tax policy. It depends on other policies and other regulations that we can do to make that happen. So we're delighted to be back in Iowa again. I had the opportunity early on to be my first stop up in Nevada with the Couser's Farm, a very high-tech cattle farm with great environmental records there, and a great innovative farm family that we were delighted to be. Secondly, we came to Des Moines with the president there at the Technical College, and we also saw some of the students in the education for Iowa and how we create that next generation of people. So we're out and about. As I told you, I don't think the wisdom that we're going to find for the solutions in agriculture result in or are found in Washington, D.C. So that's why we're out among the people. Thursday morning, we landed in Milwaukee. We hope in the Back to the Roots tour, we met with Governor Scott Walker there, opened the Wisconsin State Fair. So all those kids showing animals there, and it was great. Mary and I are with, as Mary's on the trip with me, and we've got 14 grandchildren. And I told the group there, I said, you know, some people look toward the opening of football season, some look toward the World Series, some look toward the Masters. Our family and 14 grandchildren look toward the opening of the fair. Do y'all have a fair here? I don't really. We look forward to being at the Iowa State Fair as well. Obviously, that that famous fair that you all create every year, and we look forward to coming and enjoying that as well. So the point is, we're out and about listening to farmers. I know I'm talking to you right now, but when I leave this stage here, we're going to go sit down with a group of young farmers hearing. We started in Milwaukee and Franklin at the fair. We went up the line there, hearing from farm groups. Both the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau hosted a group at his barn. We went over to Minnesota. The president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau hosted a big event in his barn. We're just picking up ideas where we can be of help and counsel to Congress thinking about this 18 Farm Bill. What we want, I think, is a stable safety net for producers, while we recognize that we don't want interfering with the market. We want producers who produce for the market, not produce for the programs. But yet everyone, we know that farming is a risky business. You all experienced that in 12, and we've got friends and neighbors and producers to the west that unfortunately are experiencing the drought there in the Dakotas and in other areas there and this year. So we want a good safety net that will create, when weather doesn't treat us right, when the markets don't treat us right, we want a good safety net for farm program, and that's what we're out here hearing your ideas. So I hope you'll think about those things. This is oftentimes when you see rules and regulations of the federal government, the common thing to think, well, they got their mind already made up. It's no sense in me commenting. It's just like voting. That's not true. Make your vote and your voice count. We need to hear from you, because collectively the wisdom of the whole sector is much more powerful than any one voice in Washington as we hear from you in developing policies, both on rules and regulations. That makes a huge difference. So I hope that you'll participate that. Hope you'll be as active as Bruce Rastetter has been in making sure his voice and the voice of agriculture is heard in Washington and foreign policy. Senator Ernst wants that. Senator Grassley wants that. Congressman Young needs to hear from you, and I know that you all are there. They stay very close to their constituents, but we want to hear as well so we can inform all of the authorizing and the appropriating committees that have to do with your influence on agriculture. Most farmers are like I was growing up. You know, I don't want anybody to help me. I don't want anybody to hurt me. I just want you to leave me alone and let me do my job. But that's not possible anymore. We know that now. And we know that public policy, federal policy, state policy influences what we're going to do every day. The consumer is also in doing that through major supply chains, whether it's GAP certification or many other types of things. The consuming public out there is also having a big influence over what drives how we do our business as well. So we've got to be very sensitive and attuned to that segment of society. No longer can we sit back within our fence rows and within our farmsteads and just say, don't bother me, I don't need to communicate. We can no longer do that. So I want to charge you today. I want to challenge you. I want to implore you to speak out loudly and proudly about what you do. It is a great story that the public needs to hear more and more. And your voice as authentic farmers are frankly much more credible than mine in this position or anyone else. Congress trusts you, and they want to hear from you directly. So I hope that you'll take that pen in hand or that keyboard in hand and communicate with your policymakers in Washington, D.C. on a frequent basis about the decisions that are made, how they influence you, how they affect your lives, and how we can do better together. Because that's the president's goal, is to really, truly, as he's used the moniker, Make America Great Again, he wants to make sure American agriculture stays great and healthy and productive for the future. And that also deals with the next generation coming along. How can we make it better? We'll have an announcement here in just a moment about some ideas about how we do that. So we're here to listen and to learn. While I'm speaking today, I want to be listening along the rest of the way, and I want to invite you to communicate. You know, those of you, I see some spouses out there today, and I see some of you who are married. We may have learned that early on in our marriage about listening, and not only listening, but hearing. I remember back in our marriage a few years ago, I'd gone to the doctor and do for a physical, and he said, well, how's everything going? I said, well, it's going great, but I'm concerned about Mary, my wife. And he said, well, what's the problem? I said, I think her hearing's getting bad. He said, well, why do you say that? Well, I said, well, she speaks real loud and articulates that. And many times when her back's to me and I talk to her, she doesn't respond. And he said, well, and I said, she kind of gets offended every time I mention that. And he said, well, why don't you just try this little test when you go home? And if you find that it may be true, then I'll give her a call and we'll get her in. And she was his doctor as well, and we'll check her over. So I did. I went home, and we were living in the governor's mansion at the time, and she was there cooking supper. And I said, honey, what's for supper? You know, 10 or 15 feet away in a normal conversation voice. No answer. And I went in a little bit closer, another 5 or 10 feet, and said, honey, what's for supper? No answer. So I kind of walked up right behind her, you know, just like a couple of feet away. And I said, honey, what's for supper? She said, Sonny, for the third time, meatloaf. So, you know, it's, I can tell by the laughter, some of you all had that experience. So it's not only about listening, it's about hearing what you're saying. And I want you to know that we want to hear what you say. We want to listen, we want to hear, we want to understand and absorb. And your voice is important for meetings like this to come together, to talk to one another. But you just can't get in a huddle and talk to one another. You got to talk outside. No longer is agriculture can we stand in a huddle and mumble and grumble about different things. I remember as a boy, I'd go to the store with my daddy, and where the farmers would be sitting on Coca-Cola crates. You know, that's a long time ago. And sitting there with that nickel Coca-Cola and a 6-ounce bottle and talking about their crops and how it was looking and how they were coming along. And I know it doesn't happen in Iowa, but there were a few braggarts in the crowd. And, you know, you can just see sitting around, 8 or 10 farmers sitting around there talking about how much they made of this, how many bales of cotton they made, and how many pounds of peanuts they made, and how many bushels of corn and bushels of beans they made. And, you know, you always had that one that would kind of sit back over there and wait till everybody got finished, right? And then he would announce what he made. And so, and obviously, invariably, it topped everybody else's. And you just knew that was going to happen. It was kind of, even as a child, I could watch that dynamic and be interesting in the human relationships there, what was going on. But my father, he wouldn't speak up very much. And I remember one day asking him when we went to the pickup there and got in the pickup, and I said, Daddy, our crops are great this year. Why don't you tell them about what we're doing and how they're turning out and all that? And he looked at me and he said, son, you got to learn something. He said, they're all farmers. He said, they can ride by and see what you're doing. They don't need to be told. You just need to show them by doing it. And that's really the answer. That's what American agriculture has done. We've got to show the world what we're doing by how we're doing it and how well we're doing it. And not only do we have to show the world, we've got to show our policymakers in Washington, D.C., the productivity of American agriculture, how you're doing more production now with less inputs, how you're better, even better stewards of the land than you've ever been before regarding runoff and the program here with your Secretary Bill Northey over the water runoff and phosphate control and all those nutrient controls that we're doing here. We got to tell that story, and we want to tell it well. I want to be your advocate when we have those good news stories out here about things that are happening. If you look at the hysteria of the internet, you think we're just all failing, and we know that's not the case. American farmers, ranchers, have produced the most abundant, safe food supply the world's ever known, and yet you wouldn't think that was the case. I kind of go back to something I say often with a lot of applications, and that is that I call it a Chinese proverb. I don't know whether it is or not, but it sure makes sense like it would be a proverb. It says, when man has not enough to eat, he has one problem. But when he has enough to eat, He has many problems. And that's what happens to American society today. They got many problems out here because we fed them so well for so many years, they've taken it for granted. And that's a good thing. We want our customers to take us for granted, but then not to develop other hysteria about issues that are concerning us. So we want to work with you in those areas to communicate the great message of agriculture. We've got a plan that we'll be rolling out this fall about really how to engage the youth of America through our youth organizations, FFA, 4-H, about communicating that to their peers, this next generation coming up, the millennial generation. You had a great example here recently in a great company, a good company, an innovative company here in Iowa, BPI, and a great leader, a great innovator, and how they were slandered by the news media over a period of time, and they had to go to court to reclaim their name, their reputation, and fortunately recovered a little bit of money as well. So those are the kind of things we've got to stand up to in American agriculture. Don't let people lie about us without challenging them. And we want to engage this young group of social media guys that have accounts, Twitter accounts, Instagram accounts, Snapchat accounts that to help us communicate the great message of agriculture. So we look forward to developing that program with our youth. We're going to probably roll it out at the FFA convention there about how we're going to do a better job communicating the great story of American agriculture. Along those lines, we talked about the next generation, and that's very important. You all are concerned about trade, you're concerned about immigration, you're concerned about regulation, but we're also concerned about the next generation and how we can make sure. We know the statistics. More of you out there look like me than my children or grandchildren. And we know that farming is aging, and the barriers to entry of farming, the capital barriers are increasing. How can we do the things that make sense to let other farmers, young farmers who are, we're graduating some bright young people from our ag colleges, from our land grant institutions that have a passion to do what you've done for their career and making it even better in producing food for the world. The challenges in agriculture are opportunities for growing a world-class system of production that's going to feed a very hungry world here in 30 years. If you look at the demographic growth, we're going to have to do more in the next 30 years than we've done in the last 200 to continue to feed this world. That's going to take bright, innovative, talented, passionate young people. How do they get into the industry? And we want to help them in USDA with various programs, and we want to help them with various capital aspects. Just this morning, I was just up in the road coming from Minneapolis last night, where we stayed. We stopped by some friends up the road in Sheffield, the Sukup family. Just a great inspirational story of how Eugene and Mary Sukup, about 55 years ago, started that family company just over innovation with a little auger concept there. Growing into a modern manufacturing, American-made products, using American steel, with a family concept there of the patriarch and the matriarch there, with sons and the third generation there. That's the American spirit. How do we continue to innovate and to do that? It was a thrilling as we drove through the plant there today. Steve Sukup was on the card, and we were listening there. It was thrilling. Over 600 employees, and Steve and Charles knew every one of those people by name. That's what agriculture is all about. That's what farm families are about, knowing the people around you and how important personal relationships are. But also, I learned about their generosity. The Sukups rent land to new farmers to give them an opportunity. And we know in any industry, but in agricultural especially, shepherding one generation to another is our responsibility. It's like a CEO preparing for succession. What are we going to do? What's that estate plan? How are we going to get that next generation farming that fertile Iowa ground? And it's vital to the growth and success of new and beginning farmers, but to our farming and agriculture in general. So new farmers, veterans, those who are transitioning agriculture from other careers face distinct challenges. They need land, they need equipment, they need access to capital, and they need someone to turn to with their questions. They need the wisdom of people who've gone before and whose shoulders on whom they stand to help them and guide them and be able to ask those questions. So today, I'm very pleased to announce that USDA is entering into a new partnership for mentoring new and growing farmers, ranchers, and agribusiness entrepreneurs. Oftentimes, we see young kids have grown up on the farm. They know how to produce. They know how to grow things. They know how to make stuff grow. But they do they have a business concept? Do they know cash flow? Do they know business models? Do they know capital requirements? Do they know budgeting? Do they know those things? We're signing a memorandum of understanding today with SCORE. You may be familiar with SCORE. You may not be. It's the Service Corps of Retired Executives, people who've been in the business world who are now volunteering their time to mentor young people in business. And I'm just happy to have their involvement in agriculture, helping teach our young people good business principles. It's a nonprofit association providing education, training, mentoring for small businesses to increase their likelihood of success. So it's another milestone moment in building that legacy for agriculture. We're starting it right here in the great state of Iowa. I want to thank our Small Business Administration for helping make this partnership happen. They have an ongoing relationship in other sectors with SCORE, and now we're expanding it with a memorandum between the USDA, SCORE, and our young farming community. The Chief Operating Officer of SCORE, Steve Records, is going to join me here on the stage in a few moments. SCORE has a 50-year track record of helping small businesses thrive and expand and grow, and now it's expanding its nationwide network of 11,000 mentors further into agriculture, where you know better than I do, agriculture is a business. It's not really a small business any longer when you see the price of these great equipment we see here, the combines that we have to fill, the land, the rent, the inputs of fertilizer, seed, and other things. It's a business, and it's not necessarily a small business. And when someone with highly leveraged gets in, they can get into trouble very quickly. That's why that safety net of helping young farmers with programs and FSA and others is so important that we help them. But we also need to help them with someone at their shoulder. It may be a parent, a grandparent, or others, and that's great. But for those people who don't have that, we want these scores of SCORE members to come along and to provide mentorship, business advice there. So I believe this initiative will grow into the network of support that already exists and family members. With SCORE and other partners, USDA is working to ensure that we're tapping into that deep well of knowledge that exists within our local communities to support that next generation. So I want to issue a call to action for you as well, to each farmer, to each rancher, to each agribusiness owner or retiree. I'd like for you farmers who are at the dusk of your career, join up and join with SCORE to be a mentor with these young people who would love your advice and your counsel of how they get started. And we're going to make this easy for you. In the corridor just outside the room, SCORE and USDA are ready to sign you up. Think about how you can contribute. You may not have a succeeding generation in your family, but you can help other young people who are passionate about doing what you've done for your career. So before we sign on the dotted line, I want to leave you with just a few thoughts as I've enjoyed visiting with you. As Iowa farmers, you know how to help deliver the American dream. You help feed the world, and I'm honored to be your Secretary of Agriculture, honored to tell your story and the story of American agriculture to the public at large. For me, this is not just a job. Mary and I were pretty happy with our 14 grandchildren at home in our businesses, but this is a mission that we believe we're called to. It's a high calling. I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, one to which I am passionately committed. And my mission is to serve you, American agriculture, Iowa farmers, Iowa hog producers, Iowa cattle producers, and all the other diversity of agriculture you have. We want to tell your story and tell it well. We want to make the policies that make sense. We want to get out of the way, out of your way in other areas. So thank you for allowing me to share with you here today. I want to thank Bruce and all of your leaders for inviting me back here today to visit with you, share my heart once again in Iowa at the Iowa Ag Summit. And I want to encourage you, stay by the stuff. Keep doing what you're doing. And as we say at the USDA, our new motto, which you've already been doing, is do right and feed everyone. May God bless you. May God bless the farmers and citizens of the great state of Iowa. And may God bless the United States of America. Now, Bruce is going to come back up and invite our other guests where we can finish our official signing here of this memorandum of understanding. Thank you very much.